You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
We just do this just real quick and it won't take long, and then I will be her favorite son again, the golden boy, you know.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, we're just having service here at the Shelter Community Church.
Well, I was just online listening to the one at Carrollton, so I didn't feel like I was playing hooky.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, where are you and Dad right now?
We are coming in Atlanta.
Oh, so you're traveling to, you going to Florida, is that right?
I'm going to Florida, yes. Okay. Dad's taking me down. We bought us a little old trailer.
A trailer. Well, good for you.
Yes.
Well, Mom, we just wanted to call and wish you a happy Mother's Day. I've got a bunch of people in this room right now.
And, I appreciate that.
Yes. And
happy Mother's Day to all the mothers there, and tell everybody else to be sure to honor their mothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's preaching now, folks.
Yeah. That's
so,
the word.
All right. Well, Mom, we love you. I love you. And have a good trip, okay?
All right. Blessings on everybody.
Uh huh.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Thank you, guys. So now I'll be in the good graces again. So good. Thank you. You know, it's interesting. There's one thing for sure. You know that your mom is for you. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I coach a Little League baseball team. And I'll tell you one thing about this 11U based traveling baseball team is that moms are flat out insane. Okay, they are crazy, you know, and they are so much for their little, you know, their little Johnny, you know, and so am I. I mean, I'm for my little baseball team, and sometimes, you know, I'm coaching third base, and it never fails because I'm on the third base coaching side, and it always seems to be the visitor side. Okay, and they hear everything that I say because I get kind of impassioned. You know, I'm not in ministry mode or pastoral mode when I'm coaching. I promise you that. All right. And you know, I don't have my bedside hospital visitation manner in play. Okay. And so I'm like really coaching my kids up and giving them signals, you know, and doing stuff. And when they come around second, I'm like, you know, rolling them on, trying to get them in. You got to slide, you know. And one thing that drives me crazy is these crazy moms. And they're sitting on the fence. And this one lady the other day, I do my best to ignore, but the lady was so loud. And I just turned around. I said, "Lady, you are loud." And she didn't like that. She got up out of her chair and leaned over the fence. And she says, "I'll show you loud," you know. And then it was on. It was on. It got nutty. But nonetheless, you know that your mom is for you. Do you not? Right? And I just want you to know, and I want you moms to know, and everyone in this room, I want you to know that God is for you, that the church is for you this morning. And hopefully that's what we all get out of this, right? Because here's one thing I think that we need to just kind of take a step back and recognize is I think the church has made some missteps, all right? And I think that the church has not conveyed a message that the church is for people, right? Now, they know what we know what the church is against, do we not? I mean, we know what the church is not for and what it's against, but I think the idea of us promoting this message or repackaging the message that God is for you is vital in this day and age. It's vital for us to know that, because I believe even in this room this morning, there are probably people, many of us this morning, who believe that God is not for you. Not for you. Think about that. Think about those in the community. I think the message of God's love, God's grace, there's a whole lot of people that believe that the church or that God is not for them. Right? Those of us here this morning that feel maybe somewhat abandoned or criticized, guilty or ashamed for what you've done, right? Here's what I just want all of you to know, is that God is for you. So that's kind of where we're going today. Hope it and I hope this resonates. And what I plan on doing is I'm going to share three short scriptures, And I wanted to share, and they're all in the gospel, and just how Jesus responded in different situations. And then what I wanted to do is sum it up with a key verse. This key verse, you can write it down, you could save it, you can read it through the week and pray over it. But this is a key verse I'm going to share with you after the three stories. And then I'm going to close with something that we can do in terms of packaging a message, sharing a message of how God is for people and for our community. So let's start with the scriptures. Is that okay? John 8, 1 through 11, all right? It's pretty powerful, folks. Let's look at this. This is Jesus, all about Jesus. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple, and a crowd soon gathered and sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Right? Now, this is the church big shots, right? This is the religious leaders. We know what they're against, don't we? Right? They're bringing the person here against, they're against her actions, against her, and they charge her with the these allegations, and they bring it before everyone, and we know what they're against. And you see, sometimes I believe that there's a story behind certain situations. There's more to the story is what I'm trying to say. And I believe this. I believe that the tendency is to rush to judgment. Rushing to judgment. The real underlying issue here at hand. Not knowing the backdrop. Not knowing the story. We're quick to make allegations. Quick to rush to judgment. Quick to point our fingers and accuse. Right? And I think the enemy just salivates when we do that. The enemy loves when we rush to judgment. But the truth is that there's a lot more here going on. That's the truth. The truth is that there's always a backstory. The truth is that, you know, the woman was indeed caught in adultery. And the truth is it takes two witnesses. Two witnesses had to witness what went down, right? And to visibly see, to know, and to be able to prove what went down. But here's what we also know is that she was married or engaged to be married. But we also know this, is that if we really look into the law, it's not just her that was supposed to be stoned, but it was who else? It was her lover, right? It was the one that she was with. You don't see that here in this story, do you? You see a woman brought before this crowd and humiliated and embarrassed and brought to shame. Look at verse 6. They were trying to trap Jesus into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Verse 7, they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Powerful stuff, isn't it? And some recognize, and in some commentaries, they say, some of us who have known this or seen this or know the story, you've read this before, but when Jesus stooped down, what he was writing with his finger in the dirt, right, was the sins of all of those that were accusing this woman. Those of you without sin, cast the first stone. And then, verse 8, he stooped down, and again he began to write in the dust. Verse 9, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. This should speak to all of us here who've been falsely accused, or even some of us who've been told that you get what you deserve, right? How many have been told that? Or you brought it on yourself. For any of us who deals with guilt, for what someone has done to you or what you have done to someone, I want you to know, and I want the message to resonate with you, God is for you. Doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. We serve a redeeming God, a God that poured out his life and his grace over us because he wants more than anything to have relationship with you and with us. Verse 10, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" Verse 11, "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful story of God's love and God's grace. It does not matter what you've done. God is for you. Right on? Mark 5, 21 through 34, another a woman here that we read about. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake. I'm trying to give you some context here. Where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live." Setting up the context for the woman that Jesus is about to heal and speak to. Here's what I want to say is that people are starving all over for a God that they know is for them. This man was desperate for God to move and God to work in his family and his life. I believe many of us sitting here today are desperate for God to move into your situation, into what you're dealing with and what you're struggling with. Verse 24, Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. You know, this message of a Messiah, this message of a teacher, this message of this Jesus that resonated with people because they saw that he was for them. Verse 25, and then the woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse, the scripture says. Desperate for God to move, desperate for God to work, desperate for something to happen in her life. Here's this lady. She felt dirty. She felt like people wanted nothing to do with her. She struggled with abandonment. How many of us struggle with being alone? She couldn't have people over to eat anymore. No one would want to go because anything that she touched was unclean. She was unclean. No one wanted to be around her. No one wanted to touch her, to hug her. Think about this. I'm telling you, people need to be touched, not in a sensual way, but in a way in which people receive and feel contact, you know? Human touch. People need that. She needed that. She needed help. This was nothing that she could help. Yet folks did not want any contact with her as she was dirty. Dirty. That's what people thought. That was the issue, the problem. She felt like that she wasn't worthy, that she was less than others. And I believe there are people who feel like that, maybe in this room today. But I promise you there's people like that on the outside. People that you work with, people that you live by, people that feel like that they are less than or not worthy or they're undeserving. Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. In need of touch. Verse 28, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around to the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Folks, God is for you. God is for you. Jesus was for her. Jesus is for you. God loves you and is for you. There's power in a message like this, in knowing and in sharing that there's a God who loves and a God who helps and a God who cares. In Mark 14, 3 and 9, the last of the short stories this morning, it says this: "Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. And some of those at the table were indignant. 'Why waste such expensive perfume?' they asked. 'If it could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' They scolded this lady harshly." Scripture says. And here I'm looking at this, and you know, there's times in my life, and I believe there's probably times in yours, where you felt like you've given it your best effort, but yet you feel as though it wasn't enough. You feel rejected and criticized for your good works. This woman was putting forth your best effort, and you feel questioned and second-guessed. All the hours that I put in, and this is the criticism I get. This is the questions I get. And trying to do what's right, you just feel dishonored. I know a lot of folks who feel dishonored. God is for you, folks. God is for you. And look how God responds to her. Verse 6, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time." Her work was prophetic. Verse 9, "I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed." Think of it. We're discussing it now, are we not? I want you to know that your deeds will not go unnoticed. Your deeds will be remembered and discussed. And I know that's not why you do them, but I want you to know that your deeds will not go unnoticed. Your deeds will be remembered and discussed because God honors those who honor him. Paul in Romans is reminding us of all these wonderful, of this wonderful message, this message that God is for us. He's reminding of us of this. He's reminding us of this message of blessing, and he's reminding us, and it's more than just a reminder. He's charging us, you know, with this message of assurance God gives us through our relationship with him. See, there's assurances in faith, in the faith in believing in Jesus, and believing in him and following him. That assurance that we have is that God is for you. God loves you. God sees you in your weaknesses, and he sees you in how you fail at times. He sees all of that. And what he sees is he sees you with incredible favor. God loves you. He's for you. In Romans 8:31, Paul, he writes this in this message. He says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" God is for us. "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Think of it. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Verse 35. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? 36, as the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Get this, 37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And he closes out with 39. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, may we experience this and understand this and experience this for ourselves. May our heart resonate with this. May we understand that no matter what we're dealing with or what we're going through, God is for you. And as you experience, man, take it out and share that message with others. Those others that are unchurched and out of church and don't know any better, man, I'm telling you, they know what the church is against, but they need to know what the church is for. We got to message better, do we not? We have to message better. We have to share better. We've got to do a better job. And I think the only way that we do that is first experience it for ourselves. So if you would, just close your eyes right where you're at. Close your eyes, bow your head just for 1 second. I'm not calling anyone out. Just between you and God, as you think of God right now, do you think of God as being someone that's against you? Or do you think of God as someone that is for you? For you. For you, even with all that you've done wrong, even with the selfishness, the missteps, even with the suffering that you have brought on, even with the bad choices and decisions that you've made, the things that have caused pain to yourself and, more importantly, pain to others. Do you believe that God is for you? God, I just pray right now as we feel and as we think, speak truth to my friends right now. Share with them. Speak to them. Help them to see, to know, to understand, to experience the love of God, your love. And how you sent your son Jesus to bridge that gap, to have relationship. Help us to know that you are for us. And some of us that are here, shoot, maybe all of us, me included, just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for not recognizing your love and your grace. Forgive me for buying into a lie. Forgive me for falling short. Come into my life right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is for you. He's for you. He's for you. So on this Mother's Day, what I was hoping is that we could just take a deeper look at what I mean. And there's a video here that I want to share in our closing moments. And I want to show you what I'm talking about in terms of how maybe we can re-message or message better, right? What we're for. All right, let's watch this. Thank you.
It's pretty interesting with all the things that are in the news here lately about abortion and Planned Parenthood, the feelings that it's dredged up inside of me, it was pretty unexpected. You know, I had an unwanted pregnancy at 17 with very little support. I came to Austin and had the abortion. I don't believe in doing protesting or ridiculing women who are walking into an abortion clinic because we never know why they're walking into that clinic. When I found out that I was pregnant, I didn't feel like anybody in this world understood what I was facing. I was alone. I was scared with very little support. I wish I had someone that would have loved me and loved my baby. And somebody that would have encouraged me and said, you can do this. This is what you are made to do. You're going to be okay. This is a diaper wreath. We're going to put this over here. So this will be our sixth bundle of Hope Shower. We love on moms who don't have a lot of family support or don't have the financial support they need. The ladies at our church bring food and everybody brings gifts to let women know that there are people out there that care about them and want to help them. Hi, this is Holly.
It's so nice to meet you.
Hey, Colette, can I introduce you to Candace? This is Colette, this is Pastor Nathan's wife. So this is Candace. I think it's very easy for us to say, you know, oh man, a baby's a blessing, and, you know, why would you do anything different? But, you know, it's not to everybody. It's scary. When I see a girl that's in this situation, my heart automatically breaks. Usually one of the very first things I say to our moms is, you know, it's okay to be scared around me. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry, you know. Those are all very natural emotions in the situation that you're in.
Can you take that to Miss Candace?
When we can just love them, just because that's what Jesus does to our heart. He calls us to love. I mean, sometimes they're feeling love for the very first time in their life.
Ladies, again, I just want to say thank you so much for coming today to love on Candace. And Candace is special to me, and so just thank you. Have fun. Oh, my goodness. So this is your bundle from Bundles of Hope. And we just want you to know, Candace, that after today, it's not over. This isn't just a baby shower, you know? We love you, and we're here for you. Everyone in this room is here for you from now on. So you mean a lot to me. No, I'm going to cry too, but it's okay. You know? We love you. God.
You have a family.
Wasn't that good? So here's what we're going to do, right? Here's what we're going to do. We are going to have our own little bundle of hope baby shower, right? And what a better day to like bring this out, you know? I mean, it's Mother's Day, right? And so we have found a lady who is in the community that is pregnant, and I think her due date actually is coming soon. And we've identified that person, and we are going to have a baby shower for you, and we want all you ladies to participate in this. And that's what this little thing is in your weekly, okay? And some of you know, some of you don't know, but Bernice, some of you know Bernice, some of you don't know Bernice. Bernice will be, you'll know where she is. Bernice has a presence about her. She's in the back there, but she will be out in probably the atrium area, and she'll have a round table or something, and you can give your little card to her, or you can put the little card in the giving boxes on the side walls. And then Bernice this week will reach out to you, and she will give you all of the details, right, of how we're going to do this and how we're going to make this work and how we're going to make a difference in terms of sharing with someone that God is for them. Right on?
Right on.
Let's all stand. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful, wonderful church. God, this community of people. And Lord, I believe in this church, and I believe in these people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to just communicate your grace and your love the way you did. And Lord, may we make a difference in this community that we serve. Lord, bless these moms and these ladies that are here today. And I know this day comes with all kinds of different emotions, but every woman that's here today, God, help them to know that you are for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.